Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with Captain Christmas.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jack Barry. Jack, what is this? Yeah. What is this atop thine head? My friend, what is the glory that we are witnessing here? You gotta let the people know what's happening.
Yeah,
here.
For those of you that are not watching on YouTube, I have it's like a trucker hat, but it's a Christmas tree. It looks like a Christmas tree sweater in the general area, and it lights up too. So
show the people what it does. Gosh. You can't just say it. You can't just say it without showing. Well, give us a little show.
It looks like it'll cause like seizures in kids. That's what it is.
Epilepsy warning. There it is. Yeah. Whoa.
Dude. Yeah, I told you.
You drive around with that hat, people are going to think they're getting pulled over.
They're getting seizures for sure.
Yeah, 100% they are.
It's like the old Pokemon shows. It's like this show may cause seizures. It's like
absolutely. It does exactly that. Yeah, for sure. Well, Jack, my friend, we are fully in the Christmas season. I just came off a week vacation, which I was very, very happy to get. The wife and I went down to Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Yeah.
Cannon Beach, Oregon, and got to spend a week down there. Such a blessing. We love going to the beach in the off season. One, because there's hardly any people. And two, we enjoy the stormy raininess that the PNW offers at the beach. So, got to hang out with her for a week. And I got to shout out my man, Kofi. Not going to try to say his last name, Kofi. You know I love you, but as someone who also has a weird last name, I'm not even going to try.
I think it's Adubanin.
Adubanin.
I want to say
it's better than what I was going to try. So we're going with it. Kofi, he goes by Kofi to his friends. Got to hook up with him. He was by sheer providence. He was teaching a hermeneutics class at a little Bible college in Cannon Beach.
Ecola.
And down there at Old Ecola, which is an unfortunate name for a Bible college. I mean, that's an unfortunate name for anything.
If it was called RC Cola, RC Cola, maybe we'd have a little bit of change of heart.
exactly. But it was fun hooking up with that brother as well. That was a good time getting to see him, and we got to go get a root beer together. Cannon Beach got some good root beer spots. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Jack, my friend, we've got a lot to get to today, as always, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your instant grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. Jack, my friend, I've got some good ones for you today. As always, we're going to start off with old Jesse. Old J-Man. The Jesse, the Dew, the Plantis.
Oh, no.
Coming out of the gate. I think I saw this. With
it's so bad.
Ripe. It's so bad. Ripe. Garbage so dumpster bad. Water, dude. Yep. He took that. He took that dumpster water. He bottled it, and he's given packaged it to the congregate. Packaged it, labeled that son of a gun.
Slapped it on a lunchbox, and he's selling it.
If you love Jesus, you're gonna drink it. And here's old Jesse.
So I'm gonna say something gonna shock you. When you see me, you see the Father.
Dear
you
Lord.
See the Son.
Nope.
You see the Holy Ghost.
No. No, not like lightning. Any of that. Yeah, please.
Crack.
Please.
Dude, how does he... This Jesse Duplantis, before we go on with this video, because it gets worse, Jesse Duplantis is a testament to the long-suffering and patience of God Almighty.
True. Very true.
The fact that he is still standing.
Yeah.
While making statements like that, is only by the grace of God and the long suffering of the Almighty.
Yeah.
Let's continue.
You see God incarnate. So you're mad at me because I'm blessed? Well, I'm just acting like my dad. Because he's blessed.
Oh, my gosh.
You're mad at me because I live in a mansion? I'm just acting like my father. Because he's living in a mansion. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Oh, man, he just never gets sick. Well, I'm just acting like my father.
Oh,
he took
my
infirmity. Boy, he didn't want, watch this. He didn't want sickness on the flesh. Why? Because he dwelt in it. And dwells in it. He doesn't visit. He dwells.
I can't anymore. The clip's long. I gotta stop it, dude. That it's so bad. And you know what's interesting? Again, I could go all like.
Then why is your hair like gray, so, Jesse Duplantis?
You got a lot of wrinkles for someone.
Yeah, your face looks a little saggy there, sir. What's going
exactly,
on? Here?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I could go all like introspective. Like let's really dig into like the mannerisms and things like that, really just tear this apart. But you ever notice with these guys, whenever they say something like very inflammatory, they always take a little break and they're like, hey, don't get mad at me, I'm preaching preaching, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's the equivalent of like the Southern, like, I'm gonna insult you and then just say, oh well, bless his heart.
Yeah,
like he is as dumb as two rocks being hit together to start a campfire, but bless his heart. That's the equivalent of that. Like,
pretty
I'm
much.
God. Don't stop me. I'm preaching.
Well, yeah. Don't touch God's anointed.
Don't touch the anointed, dude.
It's just like the same thing.
They love that.
Yeah.
They love that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, if that wasn't the dumbest thing.
Oh, no. You got something to top
it? Oh, dude, I think this tops it. I think it might top it. I mean, that
no.
Jesse's going blatant blasphemy.
Oh yeah.
But this next clip is why the world thinks Christians are weird, dude. I'm going to let it play.
Hold your hand up like this. Five is the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher. Did I miss one? Apostle. Watch this. Is there one finger that's bigger than the others? Yeah, it's the middle finger. The middle finger, it stands out from the rest because the middle finger represents the evangelist. It's the one who's sent out, goes further.
A lot of evangelists getting road rage on the highway these days. I'm just going to say that first.
Dude,
like, look at all the evangelists around here. Oh, my goodness.
This is token fivefold. This is token, like, prosperity gospel stuff right now. This is absolute token prosperity gospel. The fivefold ministry crap. Yeah.
Anyway, 100%.
Dominionist stuff. Continue. But yeah.
Yeah. Evangelists are the middle finger. Let's just say that. Don't give the evangelist the middle finger. Evangelists are the middle finger, okay?
Further. This finger is the ring finger. You know what this represents? This represents the pastor. Because the pastor is married to the church. You know what this one is? This finger?
Jesus is married to the church, but let's continue.
Yeah.
This finger is the prophet. because it's always pointing you back to Jesus. This is what God says. This is the way for your family. I can see a cloud and it's heavy with rain. You know why the teacher's little finger? Because the teacher is small enough and nimble enough to get in your ear and get through all the defenses, and the teaching of the Word of God gets in your mind, and we're saved. We've got to renew our mind. You know why the thumb's called the apostle? Because the apostle touches every other part. So there's an apostolic anointing on us to release what's in you, and the church will never become what the church is supposed to be until we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is why you need to take the seat of your life and start to lead. You need to step out and do what God's called you to do.
Oh my gosh.
Wrong. Garbage.
This is the dumbest. This is so dumb, dude. I see stuff like this and there's people, dude, you go in the comments and they're all like, dude, this touched me, bro. Like this is so deep. This is the best thing in the world. That is absolute hot trash. That is what passes as preaching these days.
Yep.
That's an absolute dog water, dude. Yep. I can't believe stuff like this is what gets popular. Like, you know why they call it the thumb? Because the thumb touches every finger. I'll be honest. I have a hard time with my thumb getting to that pinky. Yeah. So, Jack, my question to you, I guess, is which finger are you?
Oh man. I mean, I would like,
are you the middle finger?
I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin, yeah. You know, middle finger. For those of you on YouTube, I did not flip off.
Some of us are a thumb. Yeah. Some of us are a pointed finger. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm middle finger.
By the way, my son says what so many times. So every time he says what? I feel like he's just, I'm like, are you Stone Cold Steve Austin now? Where are you
Stone Cold
right?
Steve Austin.
What?
If you're ready to share Jesus with your middle finger, give me a heck yeah.
What?
Oh my gosh.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Jack, my friend, it is not this kind of thing that falls under the category of liberty of conscience, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Okay? What a segue. Nice job, Josh. You're professional. Yeah. You've been doing this a while. Right. There are many things that fall under the category of the liberty of conscience or Christians' freedom in Christ. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal for us Baptists.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We have an entire chapter in the 1689 dedicated to the liberty of the conscience. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And there are many in this world, Jack, that would seek to bind the consciences of the believers over things that biblically should be left up to the conscience to decide whether or not that is a good and beneficial thing for that person to do, right? Yeah. Things like our Instagrams today would not fall under that because those are blatant absolute ridiculousness.
Either heresy or just hogwash.
Right? Your liberty in Christ does not give you the credence to be an idiot.
Yeah.
All right? All right? It does not. Someone's going to clip that. Yeah. All right? Just because you are free in Christ does not mean you're allowed to be dumb. All right? But, Jack, my friend, we take the liberty of the conscience very seriously, not just as Baptists, but I believe we should take it seriously as Christians.
Yeah.
Especially coming from, you know, again, like we're in December, but, you know, give me a chance and I'll relate it back to, you know, Reformation Month somehow. The entire Reformation, one of the sparks that started it was this freedom of the conscience. We should be able to worship the Lord in the way, ultimately as Scripture dictates, but not in the way that is dictated to us by man, a pope, a priest, or a pastor, right? And there's this growing trend, Jack, which is really sad to see in the reformed culture that we live in, both big R and small r, to bind the consciences of men and women and call it, you know, good, right, and biblical, when in fact, these issues that are being bound are conscience issues. Yeah. Doesn't mean that they're not important. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a position. But it does mean that we need to make sure that we are not taking our position and claiming it to be the only good, right, and biblical position to hold when Scripture does not allow us to do that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people's pride gets in the way. Mm-hmm. Their own cultural or environmental situation that they're in comes into play. And you start making rules for people that the Scriptures do not make. Right.
Yeah, so they're not explicit enough. I feel right. Like here's the thing, too. Like you can make Scripture say whatever you want it to say at the end of
yes.
the day. But there is a way in which you can exegete the Scriptures correctly to understand what their original authors intended. And a lot mm-hmm. of the time, the hot takes that Josh and I see that you'll see today, I don't think there is proper exegesis taken because guys are putting onto the text things in which the author never meant for the text to say explicitly mm-hmm. that way. So
yeah,
at least in yeah. one case, I know in the other yeah. case, maybe yep. not so.
No, but. No, for sure. So by means of a kind of segue into what we're wanting to talk about here, Jack, why don't you read for the people the portion out of the 1689 regarding the liberty of conscience that we hold so, yeah. so dearly.
Yeah, so I'm going to read two paragraphs that I think are important to our discussion. Mm-hmm. Paragraph one, and this is in chapter 21 of the Second London 1689, so referred to as so paragraph one, chapter 21 in the confession says, "The liberty which Christ has purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, the severity of the curse, or the severity and curse of the law, and in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan and dominion of sin, from the evil of afflictions, the fear and sting of death, the victory of the grave and everlasting damnation, as also in their free access to God and their yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind, all which were common also to believers under the law for the substance of them. But under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of a ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected, and in greater boldness of access to the throne of grace, and in fuller communications of the free spirit of God than believers under the law did ordinarily partake of." And there's several different cliff notes and sections of scripture that this refers to. And then paragraph two is very, this is like the punch in the face.
Yep.
God alone is the Lord of the conscience and has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men, which are in anything contrary to his word or not contained in it, so that to believe such doctrines or obey such commands out of conscience is to betray true liberty of conscience and the requiring of an implicit faith. An absolute and blind obedience is to destroy liberty of conscience and reason also. I feel like yeah. that the first paragraph's the one, and then the second paragraph's the two. The 1-2 punch is basically yeah. right there. There is a paragraph three, I will say. So I'll finish it up with paragraph three just to
might
round
as well.
Everything
might as well
out.
Round it up.
"They who, upon pretense of Christian liberty, do practice any sin or cherish any sinful lust as they do their pervert the main design of the grace of the gospel to their own destruction." Meaning, if you're using Christian liberty to keep sinning, that's not the point of Christian liberty.
Correct.
Right? So they wholly destroy the end of Christian liberty, which is that being delivered out of the hands of all our enemies, we might serve the Lord without fear. Keywords, serve the Lord without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Yeah. That really rounds it out too, because it really shows you like, hey, this isn't antinomianism that we're talking about. We're not talking about, okay, well, we're saved to make decisions. Okay. And our conscience, the Lord is the conscience. The Lord is over our conscience. He is the Lord over our conscience. And we're also, when it involves Christian liberty, what the real kind of crux of the creed is talking about is saying, like, just because we're talking about Christian liberty, it doesn't give you a segue into sinning and doing whatever you want to. This is not that.
Right.
This is talking about, and which makes sense to the believers back then when this confession was written. Believers in England did not have the ability to worship God in the way that they saw that the scriptures told them to worship God. So all of the particular Baptists in England were bound by the king not to do this or they'd be arrested.
Yep.
So it only makes sense for believers after what we call the Act of Toleration happened, actually during the year 1689. That's why we have this confession that it's called 1689. When that happened, then you have this come forth. Then it becomes really integral into Baptist theology because it shows us that, it's like we should have the ability to be and to have this Christian freedom, this Christian liberty to worship in the way that we see that the scripture is telling us and not to have it dictated to us by man. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And whenever you're having these conversations regarding the freedom that we have in Christ, no longer being bound by the chains of our sin, right? We've been given a new identity, a new heart. You always have two pendulums that you can swing to. And we've talked about this before, right? The two pendulums, the two unbiblical responses to the grace that we have been given in Christ is either antinomianism, where there's no law whatsoever. We're just going to do whatever we want because Christ paid for it. Therefore,
licentiousness, maybe, is another.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. They're like, the coffers are full. Therefore, let's spend the money, right? That's unbiblical, right? And we know that obviously from like Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue the grace or to sin that grace may abound? Paul goes on to say, by no means. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Not only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but love and serve one another. Okay. That is one extreme that we have the propensity to go to in our flesh. I will say this. The other extreme, obviously, is legalism. I would make the case that those within the Reformed camps that Jack and I run in have a much harder time dealing with legalism in our hearts than we do antinomianism. Now, it's obviously not across the board, right? And I'm not saying that antinomianism is not a problem within Reform circles, all right? I think you have a lot of debauchery happening in many circles that obviously need to be brought under subjection to the Word of God, right? But by and large, Jack, I see so many more individuals in our camp coming from a legalistic standpoint than an antinomian one.
Yeah.
A few examples. Just recently, right, this guy, Brian Suave, I don't know, I'll never know how to pronounce this, right? And I don't like giving these guys press because it's what they want. And they put these things out because they know it's going to get press. Like, it's a very manipulative way to, you know, utilize your freedom in Christ, right? Let's just say that. But this one was very particular because this one affects the local church. And I think in a very specific way, right? He came out and he said this, speaking about parents making the decision to either homeschool, private school, or public school their kids. He said, it is sinful. Okay, so right off the bat, it is sinful. Therefore, if we're going to call something sin, if we are to live sola scriptura, scripture as our authority, if you're going to say something is sin, you must give me scripture to prove that this is sinful. Okay, that's them's the rules. True. I didn't make that. Yeah. I didn't make that up. Sin must have a definition. You must be able to point me in Scripture. Where is this sin? Otherwise, we are in the matters of conscience, right? Yeah. But he goes on to say, it is sinful to send your children to public school in our day. We would discipline a member at this point.
It's wild.
We built a Christian school that doesn't charge tuition to remove any excuse. Barring custody issues, all of the children in our church receive a Christian education. It's not complicated. It's just hard.
And then in the comments.
Oh, yeah. Someone asks,
what's the text that you're going to use to discipline under?
Right. What would the charge of discipline be? And he goes on to say, neglecting the duties attendant to fatherhood. One key text would be Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. I've preached on this several times. So let's go to Ephesians 6, 4. Let's do our diligence.
Mind you, this is, so I actually looked at this, mm-hmm. and this is a way in which it's looking at relationship matters.
Sure. Right.
So Paul's talking about relationships.
Right. Yep. Yep. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay. So there we have the principle and the command given to us by Paul through the inspiration of the Spirit to fathers, to their children. Don't provoke them to anger. Right. Don't actively go after your children in order to cause anger in them. Right. To be kind and gentle. Right. But bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. OK, that is the principle.
Yeah.
What Brian is doing is he is taking the biblical principle that is given in Ephesians. And he is making a straight line now saying, and this is how that verse is applied in the life of Christians.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with taking a piece of scripture and saying, okay, now this is how we go about living this out, right? That is actually a job of the pastor, when understood correctly, is to take passages to exhort, to encourage, to convict, right? Mm-hmm. But what we must not do, which is something that he does often, is take the principles given in Scripture, give one application for how those Scriptures are to be lived out, and then call any other applications, any other opinions, sinful.
Yeah, yeah.
Them's not the rules.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
It's a big stretch too. So
it's a huge stretch.
I mean, just taking that verse in Ephesians, okay, there's a principle there. You're applying that principle, even you're applying modern day practice to ancient world now. So
sure. Well, and he's making
what was the practice then of the ancient church? Like, if they took their kids to certain other schools, like, if they took their kids to Hebrew school, like, they were sinning and they needed to be disciplined? Like, where's the line there?
Well, you know, and he's making the assumption and the assertion. It's not the assumption. He's making the assertion that there is not any possibility within 2025, the year that we live in, there is not one instance in which a father can fulfill the role of disciplining and raising his children up in the Lord if they are in public school. That in every single situation, if your kids are in public school, you are abdicating your role as a parent and you are in sin and therefore should be brought under church discipline according to the standards and rules of Brian.
That
is one of the most arrogant, I'm just going to say it, that is an extremely arrogant position to take.
Yeah.
Because you are placing yourself in that moment in the, I believe, in the position of the Holy Spirit to say, now this is how you go about living this verse. Yeah. Like, Brian is leaving no room for conscience. He's leaving no room for other interpretations.
He's leaving no room for the Lord of the conscience at this point.
No.
At this point, because Brian is the Lord of the conscience.
He has set himself up as Lord of the conscience. As Lord of the conscience. And this is why we bring this up. Because of that first line. Okay. It'd be one thing if this was your opinion, right? If he said, you know, this was my opinion. I believe that you can't do this as a dad in our current climate today. Okay. Yeah, fine. You know, I wouldn't agree with you, but that's your opinion. Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He is willing to bring fellow brothers and sisters in Christ under church discipline for disagreeing with this conviction of his.
Yeah.
And this is why the liberty of the conscience is so important, because we as pastors are not called to dictate the consciences of our people. We are called to inform them. And this goes beyond informing into dictating.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, at this point too, like he's as bad as the kings and the monarchs of England.
Yeah.
And
well, where does it stop?
Yeah. That's the key words. Like where does it stop? I think he would just say, oh, well, I want to be in the halls, like I want to be in the leagues of the
kings. I want to be in the king's hall.
Yeah. So to say, but yeah,
I mean, this guy can't even figure baptism out.
Yeah.
Like he's baptizing he's baptizing babies and believers at his church. I think he needs to cool it on how parents need to parent their children until he figures baptism out on his end. That's just my thought.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it
doesn't stop with him, because there was another situation that we ran across.
Oh yeah, I do have that. Yeah. Here's another example that we will pull up for you guys. This is, and again, it's always the disqualified guys that have the hottest of takes, whether it be Brian or our one Dale Partridge here. Times and places are
all in who you share them with. Okay. Right out the gate, you see the woman pastor, but let's just put that aside for a second. Casual culture is a cancer to both society and the church, because the modern church has essentially become emotionally driven. Many people have reduced Christianity to this kind of relationship with Jesus language. And, you know, in a relationship, we're comfortable with letting those we love and who love us see us in our pajamas. But applying that logic to Christ and the gathering of worship of the church is to forget the crucial difference that we cannot confuse familiarity with reverence. So yes, Christ knows you intimately, but Christ is also the king, and kings are to be honored. And so my hope is that churches will restore dress codes that reflect honor and modesty and dignity and respect, and that this casualism stuff will finally go away.
Okay, so this is the insidious nature of clips like this, because on the surface level, you'd hear that and you'd be like, no, that all makes sense. Like absolutely. Like, of course, right? But what he's doing is he's taking a good and right and biblical principle. We should honor Christ. We should be reverent in our worship. We should fear the Lord. All of those things are true. We should take worship seriously. All of that, 100% on board. But then he jumps across the street and says, now, this is how you do this.
Dress codes, y'all.
No scripture reference, right? There's no scripture there. Again, and then same with Brian's tweet. There's no scripture here. It's then preceded with opinion of how we faithfully live out this principle. And that's the problem. And again, like the ironic thing there is that you know, he says casual culture is a plague on the church. Well, so is disqualified pastors.
I mean, yeah.
So let's just get that out of the gate yeah, first.
Seriously.
Right? So anyway, there's that. Right.
It's like the what is that saying? It's like the kettle calling the pot black or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100%. Right. But this that's how easily it happens. You take a good and right principle and you expound on it. It sounds great. Okay, now this is what it looks like to live this out, and now you have stepped over the bounds that you were called to stay within. Right? As pastors, we preach the word, we proclaim the word. We say this is what the Lord says. Right? We preach against sin that's clear in Scripture. There's many sins that are clear in Scripture. We preach against those. We preach for holy living because that's what people do when they love Christ and they live out of the freedom that they have been given. But we do not tread across to begin to dictate people's consciences, because what we do then is we place ourselves in the role of the Spirit instead of the role of the prophet that preaches, thus says the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's a problem, Jack. It's a big problem. And we need to do better at informing the consciences of our people, not dictating them, because there's a lot of dictating going on around these days.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, but this is, I even said this to Josh earlier, like this is like the softcore cult language that happens.
Yeah.
And then you're going to start getting language from these guys. Next thing you know, like, well, anybody outside of our church, or
right.
if anybody right. who doesn't subscribe to us and what we teach, I feel like this is that slippery slope that they're going to go down. And hey, like, y'all have a right to wreck yourself, but it doesn't mean that you can go around wrecking other people and other yeah. Christians' lives as well too, because you can't exegete the text.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And we have to do better as pastors. We have to do better as Christians to not allow our personal application become law. And that's very easy to yeah. do, because we're very easily driven to pride and arrogance. And that's what the prideful heart does, is it says it's right and everyone else is wrong. And my interpretation of this verse is correct and everyone else is wrong. And my application of living yeah. out, what does it mean to glorify God with my body, right? This is the only way to do it. And everyone else that's doing this is not living up to the standard that they should be living to. It's very easy to fall into those caverns, into those ditches on either side of the road.
Yeah.
And we have to be very careful not to do that, because just take the whole like calling churches to do dress codes, right? At what point, like, who is the barometer of that?
Yeah, who's the arbiter of truth at that point?
Who's the arbiter of it, right? Because the dress code of a church in like Tennessee or Alabama is going to be different than a dress code of a church in the PNW, right? Like, I was joking with you earlier today. If I showed up to our church, right? If I showed up to our church in a suit and tie, I'd get mercilessly laughed at, because it's just not the culture, right?
Yeah.
Like people would like PNW, they would look at you weird and like, I mean, what are you, better than us? Like, what are you trying to do? Like, are you trying to sell me a car?
Yeah.
Right. But you know, if I went to a church down south in my, you know, jeans and flannel, they'd probably look at me weird. Dude. Like, what's going on? You know,
you're condemned.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's where like these guys, you know, guys like Dale and Brian, it's like these hot takes have no like real thought to them, because you like, if you think about it for 5 minutes, you're going to realize, you know, that standard that you're putting out right now does not hold up in every person's situation or context.
Yeah.
Like, you are determining truth through your own context.
Yeah.
And that's just that's just arrogance.
And a lot of the times too, like, this is very regional, like you said too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, if you were to take the same principles that we're talking about with Brian and with Dale and bring them overseas.
Yeah.
Just take, just, okay, take your principles and bring them overseas. Yeah. Like in some ways, yeah. Like I think like
completely different.
If you are a Chinese citizen and is going to school in a Chinese government run school, yeah, they're probably not teaching you the right things.
Yeah.
But yeah. Is that going to be the same case for people in like, gosh, let's say, trying to think of an overtly Christian nation, Papua New Guinea, actually, who just like declared that they were a Christian nation in yeah. their constitution. Like that's going to be different.
Sure.
So, or even like South Korea, that's very Protestant sure. evangelical. So yeah, just taking that over. I feel like the problem is that all the time, anytime, Christians in the United States always have this like affinity for we need to batten down the hatches. We need to purify ourselves. We need to do all this stuff. And it's like, for what? Like, we're doing all the right things. Like, why do we need more law? Why do we need more law on top of this, guys?
Yeah. I mean, again, just
follow the scriptures and. Sometimes the other thing too is like then you don't trust the members of your church to do what's right. You right. think that you're the arbiter of truth now, and you're yep. the arbiter of morality, which is that dangerous place to be in.
Well, it's not a position that any man has the ability to hold, because sooner or later your pride is going to become so great that you're going to come crashing down and bring everyone else with you that has followed you down that path.
Yeah,
and we've seen that time and time again. Right. Is you can't do that. It's mm-hmm. it's not sustainable. Right. Yeah. So where do we go from here? Right. This is the problem. What's the solution? Well, the first and ultimate solution is that your conscience must be dictated by the word of God. Mm-hmm. Call sin, sin, and make sure that scripture calls it sin. If it does not call it sin, then it is in the realm of conscience. Right. And if it's in the realm of conscience, that then we have grace for one another.
Yeah. There's right? There's a huge difference between a discernment and having principles, taking that into discernment
yeah.
versus a clear, like this is a offense that needs to be like characterized as like something to be put under church discipline for.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly. Yeah. 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 And it seems like there's many people today that have very difficult time thinking in nuance. Like nuance is a very difficult thing for a lot of these guys. It seems like it's all black and white. There's no room for nuance whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's an issue because there are a lot of things in scripture that give room for nuance. Right. Yeah. And again, we're not talking about the clear things in scripture.
Yeah.
Things that scripture clearly calls sin. We're talking about the things that are left up to conscience.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to be willing to, not even agree, but disagree graciously and not call into question the other people's faithfulness because they happen to apply that principle differently than you, right? Whether it's, matters of Christian liberty with like cigars or alcohol, right? Or yeah. public school, private school, Christian school, whether you have kids or not, right? I'm sorry, like that, I believe that falls under it. Okay. There's a lot of things that people are very quick to call sin that scripture does not. Mm. It provides principles and yeah. it provides outlines, but it does not provide application because the Spirit does the work.
Yeah.
The Spirit takes the word of God and applies it to the hearts individually. And we have to leave room for that.
Yeah.
And when we don't, again, it's a very prideful thing to do, and we hinder the growth and the sanctification of our brothers and sisters, I believe, because we're raising people in our own image, not in the image of Christ.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let scripture be your authority, right?
Let the Lord be the Lord of your conscience.
Let the Lord be the Lord of the conscience, man. And because you know what? He's a lot better at it than you are.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear. Like, he's a lot better at it than any of these jack wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to live a much happier and joy-filled life if the Lord is reigning over your conscience versus a man that's telling you you need to dress different or do something different with your kids that scripture is not explicit about. So, yeah. Anyway, Jack, I feel like we could go on for a long time over this.
We can't, but we can't take this into, we can take it into the potluck.
We can. Yeah. We could continue to rant over there, but yeah, long story short, we have freedom in Christ, not freedom to sin, but freedom to live, obviously for his glory, but live in freedom of our conscience to be able to actually have, joy in worship, joy in living. And we should avoid those that seek to bind that where scripture does not.
Yeah.
Because that's not, that's not going to result in anything that's good for the man or the woman in Christ. So,
yeah.
Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts to make the church, local church, central to the believer's life here on the Reformatory.
That's
and
right.
To make Christian liberty great again.
Make Christian liberty great again.
You too can follow us on the sociables, if you will. Yes, those dastardly little things that we like to post different things on. Different sites like the Metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, and also heresy, and or the Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. You can find us at all those Sociable sites at the tag at Reformatory Pod. And Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors here at the Pod.
That's right. Well, there are multiple ways that you can do that. If you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I think it'd be fun to maybe watch this. Well, we're on YouTube, so you can head on over there and watch this as well as listen to it. Hit the little bell for notifications, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'd appreciate it. You can appreciate you hitting the links in the description of this episode and getting yourself some local church merch. There's some good good designs over there, some really cool stuff. We'd appreciate that. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. Mm. And for $5 a month, super cheap, you can become part of the most exclusive group in the Reformed podcast verse, in which we talk about all manner of things that are fun, dastardly, and head on over there and we talk a little treason. We talk a little treason over on the podluck. For $5 a month, you too become a Patreon supporter, and our pledge to you, if you choose to do so, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.